All right, so how you guys doing this morning? Everybody doing okay? Yeah? Good. You ever have one of those mornings where you wake up and it's just not your day? From the time you get out of bed, you get this foreboding or this foreshadowing. You're like, oh, Lord, let me endure. You know, you're not like even, it's not even one of those days where like you're productive. You just want to make it through the day. I started my day this morning like that, and I hope that it doesn't continue that way. I overslept, and then I went and drove around the roads because I didn't know if they were going to be icy or not. You know, so I was like a school superintendent. I went and drove around, checking them out, make sure it's safe for everybody to come to church. You're here. It's safe. And I got back and then it was a little late get to church and I go to print my sermon. It's not on the computer anyway. So one of two things happened and we're going to go on the positive here. So here's what happened. Here's one of two things. One, Satan got in my laptop and said, ha ha ha, they don't get to hear it. We don't like that one. Two, God said, Nathan, you had too much of yourself in the sermon, so now just trust. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to trust. I have some scriptures and a post-it note, and we're going to roll with that. all right? So if it's terrible, we're going to blame him. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. It's always the vessel. Plus, this afternoon, I don't know if you can smell the food cooking, but my belly's already kind of... Yeah, we have missionaries in town, and we're going to have a dinner directly after church. So I'm pretty excited about all that. I tell you all that so that you know I'm not infallible, and I don't get left alone from those days either. You know, we all have those days. And today just happens to be one of those, and I'm going to choose to be happy and rejoice and just say, God is in control, and it's a good day because I'm alive, and I'm standing, and I'm walking, and you know, things could be worse. We just heard Brian talk about a man in a car accident that lost his arm. You know, I had a pastor one time tell me, he's like, you want some perspective? Go down to the children's hospital and walk around the cancer ward. Tell me how bad your day is. Right? So they're just, it's perspective. But before we start this morning, before we get into our scripture, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we rejoice in your name, Lord. We're so excited to be here this morning in your presence. And I pray that, Lord, that you would just use me and speak through me, God, and that the congregation would just be blown away by what it is that you have to say. God, I thank you for John and Trisha being here, and I just pray that they have safe travels as they depart from us, Lord, and that you keep them safe till they get home. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 25 today. So we've been doing for a couple weeks now, we've been in this series, we've been doing stewardship, right? We started out the year talking about our resolve. Do we resolve to follow Christ? You know, and we looked at three or four people in the Bible that had just some resolve. You know, we looked at Joshua, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he had this resolve of, I don't care what everybody else is going to do, we're serving the Lord, right? And then we started into this stewardship, and we looked at time, and we said our time is so important because you'd have just a little bit of it. And we looked at the scripture, you know, and I quote it often, but we are just a mist here on this earth. And God has given us this time, and we all have this same amount of time. And he says, what are you going to do with it, right? Are you going to be a good steward of what I've given you? You know, how are you going to use your time? Then we went to the dreaded topic that no pastor likes to preach on, money. And everybody gave me this look like, oh, he's preaching on money. All right. But, you know, God gives us a certain amount of blessings. And I didn't just hammer on money. It wasn't just a tithe sermon. It was about you have a certain amount of blessings. And God has bestowed that upon you. And how you use it, you will be eventually accountable for. And that's it's almost a scary thought, because when I look at my day and I look at my time, how much did I waste? And did the Lord want me to do that? Did I sit in a tree stand an hour too long? You know, or did I sleep too late? How did I use my time and my money? And so today we're arriving at talents. And if you have a red letter Bible, just glance down at your Bible. We're picking up way in the middle. Jesus is going on. He is hammering it right now. Okay, and so he's been preaching for a little while, and basically what he's been talking about before what we're getting to now is stewardship. You know, he gives an instance of some people that are unprepared, but they should have been. They had the equal amount of opportunity to be prepared, but they weren't. All right, so we're going to look at, it's a big chunk today. Excuse me, we're going to read 14 through 30. And I'd like for us all to read it together, and then, you know, we'll go back and we'll see what God has me recall as far as what was previously prepared and what new he has to add. So I'm reading out of the NIV. A lot of you guys have that, so it should match pretty close. Again, I'm picking up in 14. Oh, I'm sorry, 25. Yeah, Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, again, it will be like a man on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received... The man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The man who received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put in your charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Look at that exclamation point. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I can almost hear his head down. I know I said I was going to read all the way through it, but I can almost hear him like, Master. You know, he's got his head down and he's got almost his tail between his legs. All right, where was I? 24. Then the man who received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker, so then when I return, at least would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, so which one do you want to be? Who wants to be the first, or the first guy with 5, right? 5 talents. Or 2 talents. 2's okay. Nobody wants to be the guy with 1, right? And we're gonna break them down a little bit. Just to give you an idea, this is actually a parable about money. But we're gonna look at it as talents. A talent equals 60 denarii. Means a lot to you, right? No. A denarii is the minimum daily wage. Okay, so times 60. If we put that into American standards today, 1 talent is about $3,200. Okay, so the guy with 5 talents had about $16,000. Okay. Given to him, and the guy with 2 at about 64, and, you know, and you guys can do the math. So this master starts entrusting his money or his talents to his servants or his people, and he gives to one guy more than the other, and he even tells you why. He says he gives to them. Excuse me, where is it? He entrusted his property to them, gave 5 talents, 2 talents, then he went on his journey. as they were capable.
He didn't give every person the same amount because they weren't capable of taking care of it. Right? So already you have this master, and he's looking at his servants and he's saying, okay, this person is capable of holding this. We're going to use talent. We're not going to use money. Okay? So think to yourself, what is my talent? What has God given me? Because he's found you capable of this talent. Which, you know, it took me a long time to figure out my talent. A lot of you know, when I came from a law enforcement background, I thought, of course, it was that. You know, God had entrusted me these talents, you know, because that was my job. Yes and no, but I don't think that was the talent that God had bestowed upon me. I think that was just something I worked on. Does that make sense? You guys, and you'll be able to decipher what's God-given and what's not. Because God-given, it shouldn't make any sense that you are good at this, right? Or that you enjoy this. And it's different for all of us, so that's what I'm saying, this. Right?
So God, he gives one person five, and one person two, and one person one. Not everyone of these people was expected to perform at the same level. Okay? Not every one of us is expected to perform at the same exact level. Right? God knew the person with five talents. He expected them to perform much higher than the person with two. The person with two was supposed to perform better than the person with one. Now, the person with one, we'll get to him. But we know that it's a succession, okay? So I don't want you ever, dude, the comparison game will kill you. If you start looking at your neighbor and you say, well, they are so much better at this, that'll make you not want to try. Because why not? Why couldn't God just use them, right? God gave them this talent and a bunch of it, abundance. Why couldn't they just do that? That's not at all how we are to be stewards of our talents. He doesn't expect you to perform the same as your neighbor. Does that make sense?
The
comparison game will will put you in a depression. This past Wednesday, I had lunch with a bunch of area pastors. And it's never come up before, but it did this Wednesday, and I hate this question. So how many of you run? All right, that pastor talked for, is your congregation bigger than my congregation? What's your average? How much are you running? Right? And I refuse to debate it. Like, oh, we don't even count. They're like, what? We don't count. How come I was there? And I look. I get to stand up on stage for like 30 or 40 minutes. See who's here and who's not, you know? It's a comparison thing. Because then, I mean, they all shared how much they were running. And then some of them, if they had less, their face was downtrodden and they were downcast. And it affected their day. Well, if God sent X amount of people to Open Arms Christian Church, evidently he had something to say to those people that day. Right? You know, and it goes back to, we have a choice. We can do with what we want, but I don't want to ever be looked at as, oh man, that's that church. They're running 100. They got 200. They got 1,000. If the Lord blesses us and sends us people, I pray that we are good stewards with our time and our talents and our money, that we can use, we can take these people, get them closer to Christ. That's my prayer. So if God wants to send them, send them. If he doesn't, we're going to work with what we got. Because we are going to take this congregation and we're going to go out and we're going to use our talent and we're going to impact this community. We're going to saturate this community with Christ. I asked a bunch of people, I said, what do you think our community needs? And the first thing they said was money. And I said, I think they need hope. Everybody I've talked to outside of a church, I think they need hope. I think they need reassurance that something is greater in charge. Yeah, we live in a poor community. But what are you going to do with it? You know? Look at people and see what they need, and then we can figure out how to use our talent. And that's what Jesus is trying to convey here. He says, a master gave his servant five, gave him two, gave him one. The five invested it immediately. Excuse me. Wednesday night, we're doing a discipleship course. And we looked at a kind of breakdowns. It starts with two people, and over 12 years, 65,000 people are discipled. It's basically how the book breaks it down. You know, if two people have two disciples, who make two disciples, who make two disciples, who make two disciples? It's a complete multiplication idea. And guys, it worked for 12 people 2,000 years ago. Why wouldn't it work with 100 people now? You know, and it just takes this idea of, are we going to invest our talent in our community? Are we going to invest in our neighbor? Are we going to look at people as Jesus does? Or are we going to write them off? We're going to look at them and say, oh, no, they don't want to hear the gospel. They already got it figured out. Or, no, this person goes to church. That cracks me up. When people, oh, that person already goes to church. Okay. So then let's figure out how we can get them to the next step in Christianity. You know, I think the church, capital C church, the big church, the global church, misses discipleship. We're quick to dunk them in the baptismal, but then afterwards we're just kind of like, okay, run and play, be a Christian. You know, and John kind of talked about it this morning with church planters in Hungary. You know, they're getting them to come, and they're getting them, but they don't know how to get them to the next step. And that's something he's trying to work on, is some leadership with them. Right, and that's something that we're trying to work on, is how can we look and see where we are and get to the next step in life, the next step with Christ. All right? So, moving on. Oh, not moving on yet. The guys with five and two, notice they had 100% return on investment. So did the guy with one. If you invest absolutely nothing, if you come and sit here on Sunday morning and hear me preach and then get up and run to the doors, you just buried your talent. Okay? If you do nothing else with Christ except for come here, put a butt in a chair, and then leave, you have done nothing. You have taken your one talent and buried it in a hole. Okay? So, but if you come here and you find a ministry, guys, we have so many ministries at our church. We are blessed to have so many ministries that are wanting to spread the word and the gospel. And to do Christ's work. So if you come in and you sit in a chair and you hear it, and then you get involved, you know, one thing. If you do one thing for Christ, you'll get 100% return. Now, I'm not telling you, if you come and get involved in a ministry, you get to baptize every person that goes in there, okay? I'm saying God will receive 100% of a blessing because you were involved. And through that, you will get 100% of a blessing because you were involved in growing his kingdom. That's what it's all about. We don't come here to feel good. Most sermons hurt because there's conviction. You know, I've seen some wincing already. It's just how it works. You know, the Bible is for correction and for teaching. All right, so let it correct you and teach you. Let it show you how or what is expected. So they had 100% return. You need to caution yourself, though. The guy with five talents could handle five talents. If God's given you one, you can handle one. Please don't try to handle five. Because that's going to lead to burnout and negativity. And just, it's not going to be good for your walk. It's going to hurt you, actually. It's going to set you back. So know your limits. And be honest with yourself. Be candid with yourself. If God says, hey, you're good at this, you can use that for my glory. Do it. You know? Don't force yourself. Okay, let me use an example because everybody knows that we need a little bit of help with the children. If you're not good with kids, please don't serve in the nursery. I feel like this should be easy for you guys, but I mean, just because there's a need, don't just drive your square peg into that round hole, okay? Because he will reveal to you what it is you're good at and how it is to serve him, because he's blessed you in that region, all right? You didn't get it for your benefit, you got it for his. You just get the fringe benefit of having it, all right? These guys, that wasn't their money. Those five talents, it was the master's money. They went and invested it, and they brought it back to him. All right? Your talent is not yours. He says, invest it and bring it back to me. It's about him, not yours. Your time's not yours. Your money's not yours. Your talent's not yours. It's his. You're a steward. You're a manager. What are you going to do with it? So the guy with the five and the guy with the two, they got to hear my two, or my favorite words ever. And this is always my prayer. I think I pray this prayer daily. Lord, let me hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because what did he say to the guy with one? You wicked, lazy servant. And I can hear him saying it that way. You disgust me. What are you doing in my presence, you wicked, lazy servant? I gave you a talent and you went and buried it in a hole? You could have at least gave it to the bank and I got some interest. Never do I wish that upon anyone. No enemy, no one. Because notice here in verse 30, he says, throw that worthless servant out. Now, this is a metaphor, okay? This is metaphorically speaking. And you know what I picked up in where it says again? In 14, where it says again? Jesus is describing the kingdom of heaven. And he says again, it's like a master who gives five talents. So the guy with one who decided to bury it in a hole gets thrown outside. So metaphorically speaking, what is that going to say for us? If we take our talent and we refuse to use it for Christ and we bury it in a hole. Well, he's the ultimate judge. But I can tell you what Jesus refers to is that you're going to be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is always a description of hell. It's that important, what we do with our time and our money and our talents. I don't just get up here and speak because I like to hear myself talk. I don't like to hear myself talk. But I want to impress upon you that the importance of stewardship. You guys, he entrusted you with something that he's going to want back. He wants it back. And if you go and bury it in a hole and you give him exactly what he gave you back, I can already tell you from this illustration, he's going to be unhappy with you. And I probably make God unhappy every single day. So I just don't want to add this. I don't want to compound the interest on that. Does that make sense? I want to say, okay, you know what? I took your talent, right? God, you gave me this, and you did it. You know, when he's playing that highlight reel, what about this? You got an answer for that? What about this? About this, about this. I gave you this talent. What about that? I gave you that money. What'd you do with it? I gave you this much time. What'd you do? Guys, we're going to have to give an account for what was given to us and what we decided to do with it. I love seeing, and this is just kind of off the cuff here. I love seeing professional sports players praying. Or at least giving glory to God. You know, they run in and score a touchdown and they point out. Okay, to me that's saying, God be the glory, he gave me the talent, I can run really fast or catch something. Whatever it is, I love seeing that. Because it just shows someone recognizing that they couldn't do that alone. These servants didn't have those five talents before the master gave it to them. Or the two talent or the one. All right. So they couldn't do this on their own. In the illustration, I'll give you just a little bit further and then we'll close up. He says, I'm going to give you this and then I'm going to go away for a little while. And I'm going to come back. If that isn't exactly how God operates, I don't know what is. God was here on earth. He's like, hey, I'm going to give you this. And it was the word. Or it was his example, or it was love, or it was grace, or it's whatever talent you have. And he says, I want you to go, I'm going to give you this, go use it, I'll be back later. So that's exactly what we're living. God says, hey, here I am, here's your stuff, I'll be back. I want to be able for all of us as a congregation to be able to go to God and say, God, you gave me this talent. And look at your kingdom because of this talent. And be so excited. Just like a little kid, like, Dad, look what I got. Look what you did. This is amazing. I don't ever want us to be downtrodden and ashamed going to God and saying, oh, Master, I know you're harsh. I know you're hard. So what? He expects something out of you. Don't you expect something out of everybody? And then parents, just let me touch on this for just a second. We were given blessings, our children. And God gave us those children to help raise. They are His. They are His kids. We are stewards. We are managers. We are to do the very best that we can with our children. And some of you may not have had that great experience growing up. I pray that all of you have, but some people still to this day just cannot get connected with their mom or dad. And that makes me sad because He gave us our children to raise and bring them back to Him. Okay? See the central theme? Everything we have is not ours. It was given to us so that we can give it back to Him. All right? That's exactly what this parable is about. I didn't go on into the sheep and the goats because I don't think we have time, or I don't think we're ready for that one just yet. So, that's it. That's my total recall. That's all I got. That's what God told me to remember. So, listen, I want you to understand a few things about Christianity. And if you're not a Christian, or if you are thinking about Christ, or somebody told you about this Christ and came to church to check it out, here's what I want you to know. He did something for you that you couldn't do for Him. Okay? He made right what is wrong. Jesus, the only perfect human ever, lived and died so that we can have eternal life. The life that He gives to us is eternal. It's not this time period on earth, okay? There's something after earth. What we do on earth decides what comes after. What we do with our time, talents, money, grace, love, affection, compassion determines what happens afterwards. Next, I want you to know this is important. This isn't just a sermon topic or a series that we're just going to breeze through and let it be forgotten. No, this is a cornerstone for 2015's ministry. Okay? For the entire year, you are going to hear something about stewardship. Don't leave. It's okay. We'll talk about stewardship and then we'll talk about other stuff. But it is a complete cornerstone because don't you want to be found faithful? Well, I mean, God wants us to be faithful. I would love to be found faithful. So we're going to stand on this principle. We're going to stand on being good stewards with our time, talents, money, love, grace, affection, whatever it is, okay? It's also going to be a challenge. We're going to move outside of these walls. And we're going to get into the community, and we're going to share the gospel. Brad's working on something. I don't want to spoil it for him, but we're working on something pretty big this summer. And God's using everybody's talents and time and money on that one. And it's going to be big. And I hope and pray that the community is positively impacted by us, because we will hear those words, well done, good and faithful. Sorry. You guys go pray for me. Father, again, we thank You so much for the blessings You've bestowed upon us. And God, I pray that we don't just acknowledge them and bury them. Lord, I pray that we invest them as You would have us to. I pray that we invest them and that we can glorify You through it, and that You will just grow Your kingdom
and just will smile down on us, and just looking down at your servants being pleased. God, I pray that today, this day, you show us any area that we need to change. You make it plainly known, completely clear. Show us the talent that you would have us invest in you. Because it's really what it is. We're investing in you. We're trusting you. Letting you grow. And God, I thank you for the talents you've given us and the ones that are still to come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to have the band's going to come back up and I have a few elders up here. And we would love to pray with you. Love to talk with you. Love to just hear what God has done in your life so far. Love to hear the talents that you've been given. Or maybe you're searching and trying to figure out what that talent is. But we'll pray with you. We'll just ask God to make it completely clear so you will know what you are to invest. So, while we sing this song, if you guys would pray about that. Mm-hmm.